Welcome to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. When you hear the word chronically, do you automatically associate it with chronic disease? I know we all do. It's been programmed right into us, right? But what if we flip that whole idea on its head? Let's discover how we can create chronic health in our bodies, in our minds, our finances, our relationships, and of course, in our lives. Let's jump right on in. I'm Andy, and joining me is my life partner of all things, Minna Wong.
So let's talk about today's episode. Now, during summer, kids love to go to the beach or to the pool, to somewhere with water to cool down and play, right? But before you do that, make sure that you watch Christy's Kids Corner for an important safety tip for your kids.
So later today, we're going to have an amazing guest. Her name is Samantha Sweetwater. But before we get to that session, what's on your mind today, Minna?
So, you know, I saw the other day that there are a lot more people working remotely these days, right? And the number may actually surprise you. The 2 years leading up to the pandemic, in the just the San Francisco metro area, there were 20,000 workers that moved away in those 2 years. Now in 2020 and 2021, 110,000 workers left San Francisco.
Wow.
And the other side of the coast, for New York metro, the 2 years before pandemic, there are 40,000 workers that moved away. Now in 2020 and 21, guess what? 200,000 workers left New York. Now for both metros on both sides of the country, it is an increase of more than 500%.
Wow, you know, I think that's pretty crazy. I you know, looking at those numbers, that just for 2020 and 2021, driving around Texas now, we see so many different states on the driver's light, you know, driving plates on the cars. I imagine the numbers are actually even more in 2022. Anyways, I know that even though people who stayed in San Francisco and in New York, you know, the people that stayed, but most of them still refuse to go back to work, you know, 5 days a week. You know, most of them are still working maybe even 3 or 4 days remotely at home. Do you think it's a bad thing?
Well, I think it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. I remember that when I used to work in the office, it was a brand new office with a very open floor plan. So it's like modern design, and we see everyone, we hear everything. So companies believe that open floor plans encourages communications between employees, which it probably does. I can see that. But it also takes away your focus. And when a person is not focused, it takes a lot longer to get things done. So whether the benefit outweighs the cost, it depends on the person and the type of work that you do.
That's very interesting. So do you think people can get more done when they work remotely or more work done when they are in the office?
Well, it depends. So lately, there's a lot of chatter about quiet quitting. You heard it's like those buzzwords. It doesn't really mean that they're quitting, but it just refers to the people that's doing the bare minimum that they need to keep the jobs. And of course, that's not a good thing. However, I think if you do want to do a good job, it can be beneficial for you to work at home, assuming that you can actually focus on your work.
And at home, there's a lot of distractions. I can think of a big one, like kids. They're a major distraction for a lot of clients. I mean, for a lot of people that's working remotely, right?
Right, for sure. And animals too. I mean, we have 4 cats. Our cat seems to be pretty, they tend to sleep during the day. So I think we're okay. But like if you have dogs or some other animals, they want to be walked, entertained, and they want to be played. Since they see you, they assume you're available. Or if you have noisy neighbors, that could be a problem too. You may have a problem working at home.
You know, and that is so true. You know, I was just talking to one of my clients that I trained the other day. And, you know, I'm not going to say which big tech company he works for. But he was saying that he is actually voluntarily going to work more than the 3 days that the company is asking, because there is less distraction. At home, it's always daddy, 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 I need this, I need that. And he says, yeah, I cannot get any work done with the kids around them. So yeah, I totally see how kids could be a major distraction.
Well, you know, it's not just kids, you too. You were initially a problem when we first started working at home because you were just so noisy.
That's so true. You know, most of you know me as a functional nutrition and longevity coach, but I'm actually a certified personal trainer too. And I kept all my California clients training over Zoom. And when you're in Zoom, guess what? You can't generate the same energy if you're being there. So, you know, it's about building up that energy, being a little bit louder, you know, goading their spirit on to, you know, keep these people exercising. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, my battle rope routine didn't help that much.
No, they were very distracting. And really, just every family has some type of challenges and distractions. But if you can manage to focus on your work, you can get a lot done in just a few hours. I find that my productivity went up probably 300-400% when I start working at home. Now, I can get so much more done when people don't just, you know, they just drop into the office and go, hey, you got a minute or something like that, right? And studies do show that if you're working on something and you're distracted, it can take up to 15 minutes to actually get you back to focus. So imagine if you get one of those got a minute thing interruptions every 15 minutes, you'll never get any work done.
That is so true. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, of course, I don't work as hard as Mina does. But I do sometimes get into the zone, and, you know, when I'm in the zone and all of a sudden I see the dreaded call, you know, I get a call with a specific ringtone. It happened on, I think, our second show, of course, is my mom calling right away, totally distracted. And I'm sort of wrecked for the next hour trying to get back into work.
Yeah, I mean, even Patches do, right? Sometimes he screams for no reason.
Exactly, exactly. So what are some other ways to improve your focus on getting your work done at home?
Well, setting up your workspace, it does help. So putting your desk, your chair, your computer, monitor, keyboard, mouse, whatever it is that you need in the right place, it will help. Background music, if you like, but stick with something that is not verbal and that's not someone singing. So because when someone's singing, it's actually distract you. It's like someone's talking to you, right? And it would help you have a dedicated workspace, meaning like a room where you can actually shut the door if you have to. Headsets could help. Just make sure that your workspace has a lot of light, and natural light is, of course, the best.
And I love what you said about nonverbal, no singing, because the other thing most people do is they start cracking out their vocal cords and start singing along the songs too. And nothing's more distracting than your own singing to yourself and singing to someone else that's working in the house, right? So I guess my battle rope routines, I can do all that all day long and it probably won't even bother you at all.
Well, we figured it out. So now that we set up the house in a way that we don't get in each other's way, but you do have to figure out how to do that. And by the way, the other thing that really bothers me is that you're not organized like I am. And you don't put things back to where they belong. You just leave them where they are and you're just like that.
Nagging much, you know, I have a system. I know exactly where everything is. You know, it may look like total chaos to you, but it is organized to me.
Sure it is. That may be true. But do you know that when you are disorganized, you are actually using your brain power to remember where everything is?
Well, a lot of brain power here. So, but let's change the topic. You know, everyone knows I was a car guy and I still a car guy. I love cars and I love it when you talk about track time. But it's not really about racing on the track, is it?
Conceptually, yes. So when you're racing your car on the track, would you be checking your text messages?
Not the last time I was on the track. You know, you're so busy on the road, not getting off the road, charging into a turn. Yeah, that would be dangerous.
Right. So when you're on the track, you're driving fast, you have to focus on your car, where it's going. You're not going to be checking text messages or answering phone calls or posting on social media, right?
Yeah, TikTok video. No, that of course, that would be just silly and totally dangerous. I can totally see that.
Right, for sure. So track time is to set aside a certain amount of time for you to do focused work. So put away your phone, turn off notifications on your computer, and just work on whatever your task is and get it done. Now, the first time, when you're first trying on track time, I would recommend that you do it for maybe 30 or 45 minutes or so. You just focus and do your thing, and you will be amazed at how much more you can do in a short amount of time without any distractions. I wouldn't go more than 60 minutes at a time because you do need to take breaks. Your attention can only focus for so long before you you break down. So you do need to take breaks. So every 60, 90 minutes or so, make sure you take a break, rest your eyes, take some deep breath and do some stretches.
And, you know, sometimes even meditate, you know, just let it all out, refresh yourself before you get into the next session, right?
Of course.
And of course, you know, we all want to stay healthy, right? If you have back pain, neck pain, carpal tunnel headaches, migraines, maybe you have knee pains or even hip pains or whatever it may be, it's really tough to focus on your work. And I know that both me and Minna, we have standing desks. So once in a while, another thing that I suggest is rather than sitting down all the time, stand up once in a while. But make sure you stay healthy. And that's what this show's all about, chronically healthy life, right? When we come back, we're going to come back with Christy on Christy's Kids Corner. And she's going to show you her coming tip of the week. And then, of course, our interview with Samantha. Stay tuned.
We all hope to age gracefully so we can enjoy our later years full of energy, vitality, and good health. But so often, with age, our bodies start to show signs that things just aren't as they used to be. Our energy, skin, healing and recovery time, sleep, it all just seems to go downhill. Unless you're using LifeWave X39, the world's first product ever to activate stem cells, a true breakthrough in regenerative science that helps restore our bodies to a healthier, more youthful state. The secret? By harnessing the power of LifeWave's patented phototherapy, X39 uses light to elevate a peptide proven to signal the activation of stem cells. Think about it. These are the cells that generate and regenerate all the cells and structures of the human body. They're the building blocks for our organs, tissues, blood, and immune system. They also serve as an internal repair system everywhere. But as we age, stem cells become less effective. Their ability to repair damaged tissue is reduced. In fact, by age 60, they've slowed dramatically. But all that changes when just one LifeWave X39 patch is placed anywhere on the body each day. It's time you experience the power of X39.
Hi, everybody. Christy here. About to go out and have some pool time with the kiddos. And I just wanted to tell you the next safety tip is about water wings, or also called arm floaties. They're the little floaties that you put on your kids' arms and they can float around in them. They are fun, but you must consider them to be only a toy. They are not a safety tool. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen kids floating around like this and one of them starts to deflate. You know what happens? They go like this. And if sometimes like this, but most of the time like this, and their floaty arm will go up and their head goes under the water. Not a good thing. So floaties, if they're a toy and you're in there with them, great. Don't think that floaty is going to protect your child from drowning. A life jacket is a different thing. That's a safety device. But those water floaty arm things, they're just a toy. Please be careful with them and be aware that your kids are, you know, you still need to watch out for your kids. All right, we're going out now. Ciao for now. Welcome back to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. I would like to introduce you to the fantastic Samantha Sweetwater. She's an author, educator, ceremonial guide, and executive coach. For over 30 years, Samantha has facilitated individual and group transformational experiences in diverse communities, cultures, and industries on 5 continents. Her work, leading conversations about our relationships with the earth, spirituality, and systems change, is transforming the way we think about what it means to be human. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
I'm really excited about our chat today. When we were chatting, you were mentioning to me about enlightenment. I love that word, enlightenment. Can you tell us what that means?
Certainly. Very simply, enlightenment as a spiritual paradigm or as a path is a path of putting life at the center of our practice, our prayers, our process of engaging with the divine and recognizing that it's sacred. So enlightenment invites us to sit in the seat of, you know, already being that and also being in relationship with that, with everything around us, that the fabric of the world, the fabric of existence is itself a divine fabric. And enlightenment is a toolbox and a path and an invitation to step back into the reality that life itself is sacred.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that right now, I think so many people are reawakening to their own divinity. And some people are, just feel like they're going crazy. But that connection, when you start really connecting, the peacefulness is so amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I mean, what I've experienced is that enlightenment is very sane making, partly because it works with the inside and the outside. So there's a lot of spiritual narratives that say everything is inside of you. And it is true that you can access immense amounts of truth and information from the interiority of consciousness. But it's also true that we are bodies who are embedded in a shared world and a shared reality. So enlightenment as a spiritual path can actually be very whole making and sane making on the awakening path, because it invites us to be both in the inner and both in contact with consciousness as an interior process, and consciousness and relationship as a shared process and practice that brings us home. Like, home is not something that just happens inside. Home is something that we co-create, that by definition is about living in places that feel home and in relationships that nurture us and in work that is meaningful and purposeful relative to the well-being of a world that's larger than ourselves. And that's very grounding, actually.
It is very grounding. And it's also really that feeling of just what so many people are going through right now, with this feeling of, I just can't go back to that soul killing job. I have to find a path that not only does something beneficial in our 3D world, but is uplifting to us within. Mm-hmm. Have you experienced that with people?
Oh, very much. Yeah. I mean, I think my previous website used to say my greatest qualification for doing what I do is that I've been completely, I have lived my life as a commitment to live in integrity with my soul since I was a very small person. Mm-hmm. And I've never not done that. I've the only job jobs that I've ever had have been jobs that felt in alignment with what I was here to be and do as a soul. So yes, people come to me with that all the time. I do think at the very heart of it, we're here to be love. And so sometimes it may not be as much sometimes as we think about the external manifestation is about how we show up from the inside out in anything that we do. Like one of my all-time life heroes was this amazing woman behind the desk of a car rental place at the airport in Phoenix. And this was about 10 years ago, but I arrived and this woman was beaming and I walked up to this desk and I said, "How are you?" She said, "I am so great. I am living on purpose every day in my life. And my purpose is to love people." She's sitting behind a car rental desk, like being completely Christed consciousness, you know, or absolutely beaming love and clarity in every interaction she had. So sometimes it's not as complicated as we might think it is.
Exactly.
You know, avatar, you know, it's like, oh, I'm learning things from you right now.
Oh, we do. If we look at everything, you know, not that I don't like the idea that we're here to be taught lessons on this planet. I'm more the, I'm like you. I'm like, no, we're here to express love in our souls. And yes, there will be lessons because sometimes we have to go through something to get to that place. Mm-hmm. And, but the net result is we come into ourselves and our connection to something bigger than us, whatever you choose, what word you choose to address to that. Yes. I learned that when I was teaching with the kiddos, that it was so much more important to be present with them than anything that they wanted me to teach them.
Right. Absolutely.
little absolutely. Yeah. Well, I would love to talk to you. Okay. Because I've been dealing with this myself. I think everybody is. The crumbling of the old systems on the planet that's happening now. And so many people. So many people just seem so panic stricken over it. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I think it's got to happen. It's got to crumble away so the new can come in. And that's one of your specialties, the intersection of spirituality with systems change.
That's right.
But let's dig into that.
Sure. There's a line in my book that says, and it's actually the entry point on my website, the world we were born into no longer exists. The one that will be is emerging as we live, love, narrate, and create it. And there's a fundamental tension in all of our psychology, my own included, between the need for stability, which orients more towards control and dependability and, you know, wanting to know where your home is, wanting to know that you won't, that you will have an income next month, like all of these things that are very fundamental to our psychology and to our sense of ground and ease in our daily lives. And there's a tension in that between that and the urge and the impulse to grow, to change, and really like the resilience and responsivity to emergence, to finding our way even when the things that we thought we needed aren't available. Mm. And mm-hmm. that tension, it's a fundamental tension in human consciousness, and Maslow mapped it as a hierarchy of needs. There's actually a huge critique of Maslow, a wonderful critique offered by indigenous. He actually pulled that model from indigenous cosmologies that did not put it in a hierarchy, which is very interesting. Bless you, Maslow. But Maslow sort of stole that from the indigenous and made it hierarchical when the indigenous didn't view that it was hierarchical, which is meaningful. Because if we don't say, well, survival is more fundamental than our ability to, for example, collaborate with each other. Mm. In the indigenous model, our ability to collaborate with each other is more fundamental.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
Even if you're living in just a tribal culture, collaboration means you work together to get food.
That's right.
And fire and community and protect each other.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, as we are heading into times of greater turbulence, I imagine some people listening to this are already experiencing that with income and work. There's an opportunity for an emergence of our ability to respond and adapt and create new models and engage with each other in different ways. We don't know how this is going to play in the next year to 5 years. We're on a timeline that goes to 2026 astrologically in terms of massive, if you look at it at the astrological cosmic level, there's a timeline we're on that is going to get increasingly turbulent, that is leading to some kind of apex event in 2026. You can take that or leave it depending on your paradigm, but I think it's an interesting frame. And the thing that I think we have to consciously work with, and you could say work against, is that our dominant culture says be there for yourself as an individual, create security for your own family. Dominant culture has manufactured desire that's all about what do you have, you know, where are you on the financial ladder, where are you on the success ladder. I think that the really resilient response is more like, how can I co-create this for myself and my community? How can I get involved? Sometimes in ways that, like, for example, in city governance, that we've sort of like walked away from and said, like, this is old paradigm, but there's an aspect of where systems will crumble that we get to work with the old systems to bring us together in ways that can help to nurture emergent systems and structures. Like, I think that's very important in the United States, and a lot of the communities that were successful at navigating COVID in the most resilient ways, like, people did convene around how are we governing our town, for example. Yeah. So, like, I think it's important to, like, break down the making everything personal and look into how can I engage with this more collectively in practical and localized ways.
Yes, that could, it's not, yeah, I could see that across any system, governing, mm-hmm. educational systems, every kind of system there is. Jail systems, it needs to be more of a, it needs to be brought into a more spiritually based foundation where people are being uplifted rather than put down, because that doesn't solve anything.
Yeah. And it's kind of moving through an entropy where we've been acculturated not to participate.
Mm.
And kind of self-help culture doesn't always help get us back into participation, because it's very me oriented. It's like you sit down with a book and you do your process. Mm. But the world we want to create is something we have to create together. Mm-hmm. It's something that requires engagement. So then you get to go into your internal process and ask yourself, like, what is mine to respond to? And sometimes circumstances will show you what's yours to respond to. Sometimes it's an interior emergence that happens. It might happen spontaneously through guidance. It might also happen through assessing, like, these are all my skills. These are the things I'm good at. I'm going to, like, you know, for me, writing the book I'm writing is like, I've been writing and teaching for 30 years. This is a natural emergence. Sometimes that guidance is externally emergent, of like, my kid's in this school and I really, like, I know that I can show up and be a strong leader in the parent community to help to steer where our local education system is going, you know, or I really care about public, I really care about health, and I need to show, it's my time to show up and be an advocate for getting GMOs out of my county, or, yes. You know, so it's an internal, external sensing. I think one of the shadows in spiritual communities, it's still in spiritual worlds, is it's still very me focused.
Mm-hmm.
And that is building off of a dominant culture that is sort of it's detrained us. It's like neutered us in terms of participating in community. But like it's like Thich Nhat Hanh said, the next Buddha will be community.
Mm.
And that's a very, like, that actually requires going through, sometimes through the entropy of, like, I don't want to engage with civic government, that's really dense. Or I don't want to engage with these people, that's really dense. And it's like, yes, that's where we actually need the medicine.
Mm. Yes. Well, how conditioned are we that we can't change anything? Like, right. One of my hot buttons are the chemtrails. They make me crazy. And it's, but then you sit there and you think, what can I do? And especially when you try to talk about it to people and you're met with, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. What do you? And I'm like, open your eyes and look up at the sky. Believe your eyes. And so that density is like, well, what can I do? And so getting, say, but maybe it should be phrased, what can I do? And that's the approach, is what can I do? Let's start with that.
What do I get to do?
Yes, what do I get to do? I love that. That is so uplifting. That is so enlightening.
Yeah, it's so enlightening, and it's so chronically healthy. Yeah. It's chronically healthy to trust that there's a creative impulse and then do the work to find how to enact it. And again, this is an area where we've been badly trained, like trained that we don't have power, but it's like, actually we do. You know, Brené Brown speaks so beautifully about how we are made to effort.
Mm.
And how we can't actually become truly healthy. It's like, and sometimes I think of it, unless we go through the entropy of things that are hard, you know, and it's like Glennon Doyle talking about we do hard things, you know, and Brené Brown bringing that forward as in really grounded research that we're made to meet these difficulties and know ourselves more by moving through them. And I think of that in terms of awakening, I think of that as a soul proving. Like there's a way that sometimes we collapse into like, I think it should be easy. And I want to make this, I want it always to be joyful. I want it always to be happy. And I'm like, well, there's like happy, happy in the easy emotional sense. And then there's what I call class two fun or Aristotelian direct dimension of happiness, which is to actually show up in integrity with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we come to know our souls and evolve our souls in a way that is truly dignified and mature and grounded and sane. And that to me is where awakening grounds into the majesty of what we really are here to be.
It's a whole next level. That's what people have. It's breaking that conditioning that you can't.
Easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, actually, no.
No. You know, that's something that I've been, because mine is education, and I've been dealing with that whole concept of like, I actually worked with a school where they had a policy in place that the parents could write essays for the kids because it was too hard for them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No. And the struggle of the writing is the thinking process, and you're taking that away. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what you're saying. That struggle, it's not about it being hard and bashing your head against the wall. It's about the struggle that evolves you to the next level.
Right.
Yes, that's incredible.
And I mean, I can speak to it in my own life. Writing a book is really hard.
And yes, I've written like 40 of them. Yeah.
So much, and I'm so grateful for the growth.
Yes, it's incredible. Writing a book, you know, it's so funny. It's like a joke among writers about how everyone thinks they can write a book, but it's only like, it's so ridiculous, like 1% of all the people who think they can write a book actually do.
Yeah.
Tell us the title of your forthcoming book.
It's called True Human, Reimagining Ourselves at the End of Our World. And it's an invitation to really place what we are as human beings, as human souls, as human organisms in context of the Gaian system, and to like explore what our most exquisite role and expression can be relative to the earth that we occupy and the place we occupy in the cosmos as beings.
Oh, I cannot wait to read it. How I think our audience is going to be very interested in how they can reach you, Samantha. What?
I'm at samanthasweetwater.com, and there's an ebook called The Wisdom of WTF. that's about the impulse inside of us that kind of knows things are off. And it's an offering to empower that impulse in you and help you understand how much wisdom is actually in the part of you that's like, what? Like, what? And
we all have those moments like, ah. Oh, so that's wonderful. So they can go to your website and download the ebook.
That's
fantastic. Great. All right. That's wonderful. Samantha, this has been a joy. I wish we had hours to sit and talk. This is just amazing and so, so important right now in the world we're in.
Thanks so much for hosting me.
Thank you. Okay, stay tuned, everybody. Coming up next is Minna's biohacking tip of the week. Stay tuned. Hi, everybody. I'm Christy Boyd-Johnson.
And I'm Alicia Seymour.
And we are the Barefoot Learning Club. What if you could give your child the gift of real learning and a real education, one that takes away all the frustration and guilt and fear of failing and gives them the exact tools they need so that they can tackle anything?
Yeah, that's why we created the Barefoot Learning Club. It's our way to empower parents to give their children with the skills and knowledge they need to get ahead while making their education fun, exciting, easy, and effective.
Yes, we're all about ease and fun and real learning. Please, we invite you to check us out. We're focused on literacy. You can use us as a homeschool program. You can use us as a supplement to school. Anything works because we teach them how to read and do math in such a way that doesn't confuse them and make them feel like they can't do it. So please go to barefootlearningclub.com and you can also schedule a chat with me if you like, and no pressure, just chat, ask me your questions, and we'd love to talk to you.
Enrollment opens on August 24th. But in the meantime, if you'd like, you can go join the wait list so that you can be the first to know when enrollment is open.
And you just might get some fun tips in your email box. Yeah. All right. We look forward to meeting you. Ciao for now.
Hi, everyone. It's Andy from Focal Academy. And on this week's biohacking video, we want to talk about emergency food. So when you think about emergency food, what's the first thing that pops into your head? I'm sure it's those small packets called MREs that you just add water to, and there you go, a meal in a packet, right? For us, you know, that is probably not the most healthy and organic way to eat your food when you're in an emergency. So what we do is we can meals ahead of time for our emergency food. This year, we have so much produce growing in our own backyard, we can't even finish it in time. We're actually giving them out to the neighbors. But whatever we have left over, we're cooking up a storm. We're making beef stew, we're making fresh tomato sauce, we're making vegetable stock. And what we're doing is after we make that, we're canning it. And to can it, it's so simple. You just buy these large mouth jars here, like that, right? And everyone, I'm sure, has some Instapot or something that has a canning function. That's what we have here. So what you do, you sterilize your jars, you put your meals into the jars, right? You seal it, pop it into your Instapot, push the canning function. Hour later, you got what it looks like here, right? This is what I have. We have beef stew here, right? We make tomato sauce, we make chickpeas, I got black beans, I got and white beans, and I had my vegetable stock there. And the beauty of canning is, you know, it literally lasts forever, right? You know, we have stuff that we canned 2.5 years ago just for test purposes. We opened it up recently, tastes exactly the same way that it did when we cooked it. So this is the best way to control from getting BPA contamination from canned foods, right? And then of course, you're not eating any chemicals or preservatives because everything you're making is you made yourself. You know what you put into these meals. So when I'm talking about emergency, most people think about maybe earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes. Well, guess what? Emergencies also come on those days when you're really busy, you don't have time to cook. And that's what me and Minna do. On weekdays when we're too busy, we just grab two cans here, pop it into a saucepan, heat up in 5 minutes, meal's done. You have fresh beef stew that tastes as good as the first day we made it, even though you might have made it 2 years ago. Anyways, that's our tip for this week for emergency food. Make your own canned goods. So easy to do. You get to control the ingredients. You get to control your own recipes. Amazing. So start canning now, and we'll see you on the next biohacking video.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. Now, my family and my friends, they often wonder why we grow our own food and preserve a lot of food. So in their minds, they can always go to a grocery store and buy whatever it is they want. So why would you bother spending all this time and effort to grow, can the food, and preserve your food?
You know, that's funny. I find it interesting that we lived in California for 20 years. And, people there, they're always wondering when the big one's going to come, when the big earthquake's going to happen. They've been talking about it for...
They made movies about it.
Yeah, and it's scary, right? It's frightening, right? And, people talk about disaster preparation all the time, like saving water, food, flashlights, crank radios and stuff like that. But the food that they stock up on is... they stock up on have a really long shelf life, but that means there's a lot of preservatives, there's a lot of chemicals that's in there for preserving it to be a long time, right? And like I said in the video, they usually come in big boxes and they come out in a powder, and I don't know if you ever taste it, they just taste nasty, right? And in my opinion, they have very, very little nutritional value. It'll keep you alive, but next to that, I don't know how it's going to do anything else. To me, that just doesn't make any sense. The thing is, if a disaster does hit, and we all know that it does, we got hit with ice storm, things happen, right? You really want to be feeding your body something that's going to keep it healthy, right? Something that has a lot of nutrients. I think that's more important than just trying to stay alive.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I hope disasters never happen. But it does, right? And natural disasters seems to be happening more often, more frequently now than ever. So it's better to be safe than sorry. And when a person is faced with a natural disaster, the body gets under a lot of stress, right? They're in the flight or flight mode. And that makes the body more susceptible to catching viruses or infections and getting sick.
Oh, for sure. Stress is a major cause of people getting sick, right? Because it lowers your immune system, and literally someone can just sneeze or cough on you and normally you just wipe that off and you're good to go. But guess what? If you're stressed, your immune system's down, you're eating these meals that have no nutritional value, you're probably gonna get sick, right? But what's worse is, what if you're getting hurt? Things like cuts and bruises, right? Your body needs all these nutrients, that healthy foods that they give you to heal your wounds a little faster. And whatever else is happening in your body, you cut your finger, you got an infection, guess what? You want your body to be able to fight off the infection. So for us, we always preserve organic foods that we grow ourselves. You saw it in our video. It's really not that hard to do. It's a little bit of work cooking it all up and orchestrating the boiling of the jars and stuff like that. But really, it's not that hard. And Minna's been doing a lot of other cool stuff to preserve our food in other ways.
Well, it just came from a book. I've been doing a lot of fermentation lately. So I'm just reading books on fermentation and making all sorts of stuff. Now I made some kimchi and I made some ketchup, right? Do you like them?
Yeah, the ketchup was interesting.
There's sugar in it.
I think because there's no sugar in it, and without sugar, it's hard to get that Heinz feeling, right? But it was really good. It was really good, right? And what was it made with? The ketchup was made with, you had to ferment something first to use as the base to make the ketchup, right?
Well, so ketchup, of course, we have tomatoes that we got from our backyard. But the base is actually from a fermented cabbage, like a kraut juice. Mm-hmm. So we have that first, and then we put in tomatoes and a bunch of ginger and garlic, all that stuff, blend together and just leave in the pantry and ferment it for a few days. And there you go. As simple as that.
Can it, and you got ketchup in your shelf, right? So, the thing with disaster foods, I think you have to have things that you're going to enjoy eating, right? Especially if you have kids. It's very hard to have disaster food that you can't go up to your supermarket, you can't call Uber Eats to deliver, everything is shut down. You know, you're going to have to make sure that you have foods that they're going to eat. So I think even like I say, we're canning, make sure you're prepping foods that are easily canned, even for your kiddos. What do you think about that?
Well, that's, yeah, make sure, just make sure you season it, because you don't season your canned foods. So season, if it's meant for disaster purposes, make sure it's done so you just open it and you can eat it. And of course, make sure it's cooked, you know, something that your kids like.
So true, so true. But the other thing that we have is we have our power shakes and our super aminos. And, you know, what we do is we save up maybe literally 2 months worth, right?
More than like a year. Well, yeah.
At a time, right? At a time. About 2 months worth, right? At a time. And, you know, each, you know, and then we cycle it out every 2-3 months. So it's they stay fresh, right? You know, so we always have 2 months backed up, you know, at a time. And, you know, power shakes and super aminos, they're great because they give you all the nutrients your body needs. It's like equivalent to like 5 organic super salads and eating like a 6-ounce piece of steak. Doesn't taste that way, I'll be honest with you, but it gives you the nutrients of that, right? And all you need to do is add water. And, you know, so we need to have fresh water at all times. So what do we do with water, Ben?
Well, we save a lot of water. Of course, we talked about water in earlier episodes. Our water is filtered and we did all sorts of stuff with it just to make sure that it's really clean. And, you know, even with the water, we change it out about once a year.
Yeah.
So we every Christmas, we change out all the stuff. Right? All the old stuff, we take it out, we eat them or drink them, and we replace it with new ones. And then we save it for a year. And then next Christmas comes and do that all again, just do like a ritual.
That's right. That's right. And for the water, like for, you know, some of you people saying, wow, these guys must have like a huge, huge house to put all this stuff. We really don't. But if you are tight in space, you know, what I recommend is they have these almost like these inflatable rafty bathtub things, right?
Oh, the water bops.
Yeah. So is that what they call it? Water bops, right? So I suggest you get a couple. If you have a bathtub at home, I suggest you have one of those. So if you know you're going to have a natural disaster coming your way, just turn it on, you attach it to your bathtub, and basically you're filling like a bag of water that fills up with your, you know, that's about the size of your bathtub, which is probably going to be good for, you know, at least at 2 weeks of time or whatever, right?
Depends then, how many people you have. Yeah. Just, you know, I think there are calculations on how much water you need per person for a day. So just make sure you have enough.
Exactly, exactly. And then like, you know, for disasters, always worry about some type of backup power generation, right? So we have that all figured out after our ice storm when we lost power for 3 days. So yeah, you know, we're all backed up. We you know, we can use propane, gasoline, natural gas. You know, if we lose all three, then the world's over.
Then we have candles.
Exactly. Anyways, we'll be right back after this short break. When we hear chronically, we tend to think about chronic diseases and pains, but it doesn't have to be. You can be chronically healthy. Having a chronically healthy life means everything to us. Life stands for longevity, independence, family, and environment. And when you have these four things figured out, your life is going to be beautiful.
Our biggest threat to our health is hidden in plain sight. It is in our water. We can't see the poison and the radiation in our waters, but it is hurting us. Our soils are so depleted of nutrients, and when our soils are depleted, so are our foods. Our air is filled with pollution and chemtrails, that there are days when we can't even go out and breathe the air. All these threats that we can't see, we can't hear, and we can't feel, but it is certainly hurting us.
There are more and more unexplained heart attacks, unexplained turbo cancer, unexplained young health adults suddenly dying for no explanation at all. Doctors are baffled. What happens when doctors don't have an answer? What happens if you ask your teacher a question and they don't have an answer for you? You go find your answer somewhere else.
And that's why we created Chronically Healthy Life. We are here to give you answers on how to keep you healthy and your family healthy. There is so much information, we can't tell you everything during our show, but we can keep you informed through our newsletters.
So go to chronicallyhealthylife.com and sign up for our newsletters. It is free and it is our gift to you. We want you to have a chronically healthy life, and we are here to help you get there. So go to chronicallyhealthylife.com and sign up. And when you sign up, you also get a free downloadable book, our book, Gut Matters, to start you on your journey towards optimal health.
Hello, we are Mutts and Meows Rescue, a 501c3 nonprofit, foster-based, no-kill group. Mutts and Meows Rescue pulls dogs and cats from surrounding shelters in the greater Houston area. We even pick up dogs and cats abandoned on the streets. Mutts and Meows Rescue is foster-based and rely on your donations to keep rescuing. To know more about us is to know more about our furry friends and help them find their forever homes. Come visit us at Mutts and Meows Rescue on Facebook today and decide how you can make a difference.
This is Giovanna Tartarone, your host of Spark and Change with Gigi, empowering personal and global transformation. Join me every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Fresh Takes Network, right here live at E360 TV.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. I loved the interview that Chris did with Samantha Sweetwater. It's almost out of reach and how the level that she is, but I love the part where she said, you know, there's something you can do about it. And really, that's what we're doing in a video, right? I mean, you know, us showing you what we know about health and the whole situation.
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of people, when they think about health, it's all very physical, right? But, you know, sometimes we have to dig a little deeper into our spiritual side. And she gave so much insight in that today. And we really encourage people to connect with Samantha to, you know, get in touch with the spiritual side. You know, there's so much happening, your spiritual energy that can dictate what's going to happen in your life, right?
For sure. So who do we have next week?
So next week, we're going to have Timothy Carter as a guest. You know, you can learn a little bit more about him. I'm not going to have any spoilers on that. Join us here every Friday at 7 p.m. CST. You can watch past episodes at watch.e360tv.com. in the Vitality TV network. Also, of course, we love to hear from you. You can give us your comments on our Facebook page, chronicallyhealthylife.com. And then, you know, we can rewatch this episode on our website, chronicallyhealthylife.com. I think I put that .com in front of the Facebook page. Anyways, you can catch us on our YouTube channel. There's just so many ways you can reach out to us. We really want to hear your comments. And if you like what you're seeing or you have something you'd like to share, definitely reach out to us. We'd love for you to be on a guest and, of course, to be promoted as our community business. Email us any questions at all at anything@chronicallyhealthylife.com.
I see you next week.
See you next week.